The Sex Ed with Tim podcast is recorded on the traditional territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabeg, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples, and is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people. We acknowledge that Toronto is covered by Treaty 13, signed with the Mississaugas of the Credit, and the Williams Treaty, signed with multiple Mississaugas and Chippewa bands.
You're listening to Sex Ed with Tim.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sex Ed with Tim podcast. I'm your host, Tim, certified sex educator, your local chaotic homosexual. And what does a frog say when he passes a bong to another frog? Rip it. I mean, you can laugh, Ashley.
I didn't want to interrupt your intro with my guffaws.
Oh god, that was awful, actually.
I mean, your delivery was perfection.
Was it?
It was.
Rip it. Oh god. All right, my beautiful listeners, my chlamydiate hive. Yes, Ashley, those are my fans, chlamydiates.
Yes.
That beautiful laugh, that beautiful sexy voice you hear at the other end of the mic is none other than award-winning sex educator and published author and basically like the baddest bitch on the block with a blunt and the biggest boobs. Ooh, bars. Ooh, ooh. Please welcome to the show, Ashley Manta.
Hi. I had to jiggle my tits when you said that. You realized that.
I did,
like,
I
that
did.
Was just involuntary.
It's almost like a reflex that your boobs just jiggle when you say
it
big boobs.
It is.
I am so dead and I'm so happy. Ashley, how are you? Huh?
I am so good. Seeing your face again is bringing me back to the night that we met, which was the same night I had my second date with Canadian Daddy.
Yes.
And so it's just like I'm full of all the warm feelings. We had a great time that night. That was a great event.
Oh my god, I love it. And then like the second time you came here, it was like just drinks and like sending Reed Mahalko that thirst.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. Hi Reed.
He did respond and he said like, hey, if it happens, let's get down to it. And I'm like,
see,
I cannot wait for the day that Reed Mahalko pounds the absolute daylights out of me.
It will happen. I can see it now.
Manifest it for me.
We're manifesting this for you.
But in this case, we are womanifesting.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, before we move any further, please, for the people who live under a literal rock, please introduce yourself to our audience.
You poor, unfortunate souls, let me enlighten you. My name is Ashley Manta. I am a sex and relationship coach, educator, author. You may know me by my widely held and trademarked title, The Cannasexual, which is all about mindfully combining sex and cannabis to deepen intimacy and enhance pleasure, whether you're solo or partnered. In the last few years, I've also expanded into psychedelics and sex, and always coming from a consent-focused harm reduction perspective, and really just like, let's talk about the practical aspects of combining sex in altered states. And I've traveled around the world. I am a certified body sex facilitator by the late, great Betty Dodson. And I'm just a nerd, you know, I love talking about sex and pleasure and communication and just geeking out about making ourselves feel good.
And just basically being big old sluts and everything.
Big old sluts. Yes.
So if you guys have not figured it out, we're going to be talking all about weed and sex because this is coming out on none other than 420 because I'm original. So
I respect it.
Respect, right? So Ashley, I wanted to ask, when was like the first time you had any sort of experience with weed or psychedelics? And how did that kind of inspire you to get into combining weed and psychedelics to sex education?
So all of those things happened way later than most people. I didn't smoke weed for the first time until I was in graduate school studying philosophy. So I was somewhere in the realm of like 22-ish. I didn't do psychedelics for the first time until I was 29, living in California. The first psychedelic I ever did was mushrooms. And I tripped my fucking balls off, oh, no. Tim. Like, I was with my ex who was like, oh, yeah, I've done psychedelics before. Like, I'll kind of Sherpa you through the experience. He had no business Sherpaing fucking anyone through an experience. He gave me 3.5 grams of mushrooms and then dunked them in orange juice, which makes them stronger. And then was like, bottoms up, babe.
No.
When I tell you that, like, ego death, walls melting, I experienced fabric that was loud. I understood what loud fabric meant for the first time in my life. His fucking shower curtain was abhorrent.
You could see,
and I was like,
sounds.
Why is it shouting at me?
Oh, like, God. Oh, God. You can feel music, like, physically on you.
So,
oh, God.
Intense. But the good thing was, and there was a lot of good sides, I had some of the most profound sexual experiences I've ever had that night and beyond on other psychedelics. I have done acid. I've done MDMA. I have done DMT. I've sat for 3 ayahuasca ceremonies with a shaman. I've gotten a lot more experience since then, and I've learned a lot and connected with people who really are doing the work and started to understand more about like how sacred and thoughtful we need to be when entering into connection with these plants and fungi and medicines. And so I look back on my early days of experimentation. I'm like, oh, pumpkin, like, sheepers, you
baby,
we're not
Ashley.
Doing it right. And so I have a lot of empathy for people who have had like questionable experiences with any of those substances, because it's like so easy to do it wrong. And so a lot of my work now as a sex educator and, you know, getting into sex and altered states is, how do you do it mindfully? How do you do it with intention so that you can maximize enjoyment and minimize bullshit?
Have a safe trip. I'm wondering, Ashley, like, why would anybody want to combine weed and psychedelics with sex? Like, what's the appeal?
Well, I take them slightly separately, because there are going to be people who smoke weed who would never touch psychedelics because that just feels like too deep in the end of the pool for them. And like, I respect that. I really feel like that is those are substances that will call to you when you're ready. And if you're never ready, that's okay. Try it again next life. But cannabis is great. What I love about it is you can use it and have it help you enjoy sex more without ever getting high. So my entree into sex and cannabis was using suppositories and THC-infused oils on my pussy, because I had pain with penetration from like early childhood and adolescent trauma. And I just kind of resigned myself to like sex is always going to hurt for a while, which was a bummer. And then I found this company back in 2013 when I moved to California, and they were making THC-infused oil to put on your bits. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And I tried it, and I had penetrative sex without pain, and my brain exploded.
So did your pussy juices.
And so did my pussy juices. And like, it was just rainbows and orgasms from then on. No, mostly. But I realized that I didn't know any sex educators who were talking about sex and weed back then. And so I really wanted to come at it from a very consent-focused, trauma-informed perspective of like, let's talk about how to address some of the things that might get in the way of pleasure and intimacy, like pain, like being stuck in your head and unable to focus because you've got a million things. Just you need to slow down, be in your body, be present. And that sort of set off a cascade of getting to write for Leafly and Dope Magazine, becoming a Playboy advisor, writing my book, teaching and speaking at a bunch of different conferences around the world. And here we are.
Yeah. And that's how we met.
Yeah,
we were like, for those of you who have not been following either of us, and you probably should. Ashley and I were on a panel talking about weed and sex at this beautiful little sex store called The Nook here in Toronto. And it was just absolutely beautiful speaking to all of these like weed consumers and these people who are starting to get in touch with their sexuality. And I was like, oh, this is such a magical night. I love it. I love it so much. So I guess the next question I would have then is, what kind of psychedelics or weed strains are like recommended? Because I'm coming at this topic from like a very noob perspective. As someone who consumes weed very conservatively, I'm very like risk averse, and I also found out about myself, I'm very THC sensitive, so I'm all CBD, baby. So if the purpose of weed during sex is to kind of slow you down and enhance pleasure, where do I start?
That's such a great question. I love that you know already that you're THC sensitive, because the market being what it is, there has been a real push among consumers for like higher THC levels in products. And I think that's a problem pretty much across the board. That would be like going into a liquor store and being like, give me the strongest alcohol that you have.
Just give me straight up moonshine.
Like, let me just drink the moonshine or Everclear. Like, you're not going to enjoy it. It's going to be too much. You're going to feel gross. Like, it's just not
the way to go. Every time I burp, I need it to light up in flames.
Right? Yuck. Like, and people are so fixated on, and I think it's this like weird, like, quantitative fixation, right? Like people with penises are like, I want my dick to be 8 inches long. God, it's like, nobody gives a fuck, dude. Like, you're the only one who cares about that.
Yeah.
So I think going into a dispensary and saying, listen, I want a product that has a better, a lower ratio of, how do I want to say this? A ratio of THC to CBD that is closer to equal. So like one THC to one CBD kind of thing. So usually you will find lower THC levels in those combinations. I'm thinking of strains like Harlequin, which is a 5-2 CBD to THC. That's a spectacular ratio for someone who's sensitive. And usually you don't see THC levels more than like 9-15% when you're dealing with like higher CBD levels in a strain. So I can't tell you a specific strain. I mean, I just did, but like that's, you may not be able to find that where you are, or the strain that you get that has that name may not have that specific makeup, because it very much depends on where it's grown, who grew it, how it was given nutrients during the grow cycle, how it was harvested and cured. Like, all of those things make a difference. So I'm very hesitant to recommend like strain names. But what I would say is look for lower THC percentages, around, I would say, 15% or less if you're planning on using it for sex. You want to look at terpenes. Terpenes are the things that make plants smell the way that they do. So when you cut open a lemon and you smell that citrusy smell, that's limonene. You can also find that in cannabis. Lavender has a terpene called linalool that's also in cannabis. And so if you can kind of go at it from an aromatherapy perspective, right? So lavender tends to be relaxing. So if it has more linalool in it, it's going to be more chill, as opposed to lemon, I tend to think, as more energizing, upbeat. And so that may not be the one that you want to reach for if you are trying to calm down. So it's just a lot about going and trying small amounts of different things and seeing what works best for you, especially in a masturbatory context. Like, don't just smoke and watch TV, unless that's what you plan to do when you smoke. But if you're doing it for sex, you want to put yourself in a sexual context to see how it's working for you. So that means smoke a little bit, go off to your bedroom or your favorite masturbation nook, have some time with yourself, see how that feels. And if you feel like you're getting closer to where you want to be in a sexual headspace or farther away, and then that will shape whether or not you reach for that in partnered sexual scenarios.
I'm just imagining, like, you're smoking and then you try to, like, get into a sexy mood, but you smoked a little too much, and then you just, like, dick in your hand and you just go...
One of my friends tells a story of getting very high before bed and eating Cheetos and waking up with his dick covered in Cheeto dust.
No, not the...
Because apparently he got very horny right before he fell asleep.
Not the dick cheese. Ew. No.
0 stars. Do not recommend.
No, ew. Also, like, that's just such a mess. I could never...
I know.
Oh, God. I also love the fact that you said... your one strain, Harley Quinn, because I think you remembered my favorite girl.
You do have a little Harley Quinn.
My crush.
Love.
Right here. You can see three different versions of Harley Quinn right here.
I love it so much. That wasn't even on purpose. That was just blessed happenstance. Yeah,
and then, like, I recently just got Harley Quinn, like, all over my arm. This beautiful new tattoo. Oh, my God.
I remember you had the diamonds pattern when I saw you, and it looks like you've added more. It looks fantastic.
I'm gonna keep adding more and more. I love her. Now that I know that she's a weed strain, I'm definitely gonna be like, give me more Harlequin. I need more Harlequin.
Need it.
We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Yes.
What's up, all you sick fucking perverts? Don't you just love love? The Love Shop has everything you need to feel the love in the air, or in between your legs, wherever you want, really. They've got everything from vibrators, lubes, lingerie, and even full-sized sex dolls. Well, I guess love really does come in all shapes and sizes. Visit loveshop.ca/sexedwithtim and use code sexedwithtim at checkout for 15% off the whole store. And the best part is that they ship all over Canada, US, and what? Ireland? To all my whores in Dublin, top of the morning to ya. That's loveshop.ca/sexedwithtim and checkout code sexedwithtim for 15% off the entire store. Now get to fucking. Do you like feeling sexy and looking sexy? Of course you do. Only my listeners are sexy as fuck. I have partnered with fetishwear designer Dale Kuda to bring you the hottest deals on custom jockstraps, harnesses, hats, and more. Head over to dalekuda.com, that's dalekuda.com, and use code SEXEDWITHTIM at checkout for 25% off the entire store. Yeah, you heard me, 25% off, and cherry on top, free shipping. Oh my God. I have a few of the stuff that he has made for me, and girl, I'm wearing it right now. I'm wearing like a little jock strap so that I could easily just like slip a little butt plug or dildo every now and then here and there, and I'm on the train. I'm just like, thank you, Dale. That's dalekuda.com with the code SEXEDWITHTIM for 25% off your entire purchase with free shipping. With a deal like that, I swear I could come buckets, honey.
The show is about to begin.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier THC CBD. For the people who are not so aware, what exactly is the two and the differences and why we should be looking out for ratios?
Absolutely. So the human body has something called an endocannabinoid system, which is designed to keep our body in homeostasis. And our body produces its own endogenous self-produced cannabinoids. One's called anandamide, one's called 2-AG. And we also can interact with phyto or plant-based cannabinoids. And those are things like THC and CBD. Now, THC will bind directly with the receptors. We have these receptors throughout our bodies called CB1, cannabinoid 1, and cannabinoid 2, CB2 receptors. And THC can bind directly with them. And that's why you start to experience a head high when you ingest or inhale THC. CBD doesn't actually bind directly with the receptors. It sort of modulates how the receptors work with other cannabinoids. And so it's my friend Chelsea Chavara calls it the promiscuous cannabinoid. It has weak action at a number of superficial receptors.
Wow.
And I'm like, sluts have strong action. No. But all that is to say is CBD does not have intoxicating effects, but it can, in high enough doses, help with anxiety. And when I say high enough, I mean somewhere between 10 to 20 milligrams per kilogram of body weight, which for an average human, you're looking at like 1800 milligrams. So that little 5 milligram gummy, not doing a whole lot other than placebo. THC, on the other hand, has something called a biphasic effect. So it has opposite effects at high and low doses. Low doses, you tend to get that euphoria, feeling social, feeling kind of giggly, maybe a little bit forgetful. Anyone ever forget while they're stoned?
Me all the time. I'm not even stoned. I always forget.
Right. And then at high doses, whatever is too high for your body, and that's a little bit different for everyone. But once you cross that threshold, you get into paranoia, rapid heart rate, nausea, dizziness, like the yucky parts of being high. When you eat an edible and then you have another one half an hour later because you didn't wait long enough. We've all done that. So THC and CBD are only two of many different cannabinoids that are produced by the cannabis plant. There are also other plants that produce cannabinoids. Cannabis just happens to have the highest concentration of them. And each cannabinoid does different things, and they all work better in concert with each other. They call that the entourage effect. So
the entourage effect.
There's your little science lesson for the day.
No, I love this because I'm also learning along with the listeners, because I have little to no knowledge of weed. And I, even though I like smoke a shit ton of it, I kind of am like, how do I incorporate it more into sex? And that's kind of where I'm going for. So a quick little story. I was at a party one time when I was in college, and then my friend brought over like a plate of cookies, and they were smelling so good. So I was just like eating them, and like he just left it out on the table. So I'm like, wow, this is really delicious. So me being the wallflower that I am, I'm just staying over at the snack table, just munching and munching all the way at these really delicious cookies. And then probably like an hour passes by, and that same friend said, hey, who's been eating these cookies? And I was like, me? Why? He's like, how many did you take? I was like, I think maybe like 5 or 6. And then he was like, Tim, you know, that was like laced with a shit ton of weed, right? And I'm like, fuck. And the moment I said fuck, I went into like a green out. I was like, fuck. Somebody put me in a bean bag. I can't. My mouth is so dry. I'm not going to get home. I can't. And then like, I just like, give me some pizza. I need water. And then like, just anything. So what was happening there, Ashley? Like, was I having an overdose, a negative like reaction?
So strictly speaking, in terms of like death, you cannot overdose on weed.
Oh, thank
God.
You might
wish you were dead, but you won't actually die.
Okay, thank God.
So let me just allay that fear right off the bat. So edibles are especially tricky for two big reasons. One is because they're going through your digestive system, it takes longer for you to feel the effects. With smoking, you feel the effects within 5 to 10 minutes. With edibles, it can take up to 2 full hours and sometimes even 3 hours to really feel the effects of the edibles. So it's tough to know right away if you've taken too much or if you should be taking more. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is when you digest Delta-9 THC, which is the active form of THC when you smoke or ingest edibles, your body converts it into something called 11-hydroxy, which is both stronger than THC and also more intense. So you know, even if you're somebody who smokes a lot, sometimes an edible, even a lower dose edible, can kick your ass because of the 11-hydroxy. And it lasts a lot longer once it's metabolized into 11-hydroxy. So instead of, you know, a 2-hour high when you're smoking, you're now looking at a 4 to 6 hour high. And that can, you'll feel every one of those minutes when you're that high. So there's a couple things you can do when you overconsume. One is just breathe, you know, just like when you are having a difficult experience in any kind of altered space, whether it's that you're drunk or you're doing psychedelics, like, you know, as you're regretting all of your life choices in order, just breathe and remember that this too shall pass, and, you know, drink water, lie down, be somewhere safe, you know, have somebody like wrap you up like a sushi burrito, whatever you need. There has been some suggestion that either chewing black peppercorns or smelling black peppercorns can help bring down some of the intense feelings. Black peppercorns are a high source of something called beta-caryophyllene, which is actually another terpene that's in cannabis, in some strains of cannabis, but it has a kind of calming effect, people have found. The other thing you can do, and I don't know if it's available in Canada, it is available in the US, there's a pill that you can take called Undo, UNDOO. And it has a compound in it called olive tall that is, what I understand, it binds more strongly to the CB1 and CB2 receptors than THC does. So it sort of boots out the THC and brings you down pretty quickly. I have seen it work with a lot of different people. I was very skeptical at first. I was like, what is this snake oil bullshit? But I've actually watched it work. So that's not a bad idea to have just in your back pocket in case you get overserved. But really, it's a waiting game. Like, just put on your favorite TV show, curl up, and just wait for it to be over, because it will pass eventually.
I was going to say, like, nobody really has black peppercorn at the ready or Undo. Like,
so, yeah, most people don't. Yeah.
So you just let the THC, CBD, or whatever else, like, metabolize in your body, and then you'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Okay. Yeah, you just got to wait it out.
Good.
And, you know, ask for help as needed.
Yeah. I remember during that weed trip, I sat down, and then my friends started putting on Trixie and Katya, and I was like, whoa, who are these people? It was fun.
Hysterical.
Yeah. And then the parents, my friend's parents, he was like, I know you drove here, but we're not letting you drive anywhere. I'm like, oh, thank God. Because I don't think I
can drive.
Yeah. Don't. Please don't.
Don't drive. Don't make life decisions. You know, don't have sex with strangers. Like, that is not a space where you could be consenting from, right?
That's what I wanted to get to, because, like, yes, weed can enhance your sexual experiences, but, like, to what degree is it that, like, sex and weed start to become so gray, right, that, like, the weed is actually impeding us from consenting?
Right. So legally, you cannot give consent when you're intoxicated. Like, at least that's the law in the United States. I imagine it's similar in other countries. So there are two things about that I recommend. One is, negotiate before you medicate. Have a conversation. If you are planning to have sex in an altered state, you want to have at least one conversation, hopefully a series of conversations leading up to that experience, where you talk about, what do we want to co-create together? What's on the table? What's off the table? What are the limits? What are the desires? What are, you know, all the things? That's a piece. And then also, how do you want to be taken care of if you do happen to overconsume, or you are not having, like, a great reaction to what you did consume? And have that all agreed very clearly while you're sober. And then in the midst of your intoxicated experimentation, be checking in with each other. Hey, are we still feeling good? You know, and don't just listen to words, look for body language. If somebody's, you know, not making eye contact, if they're not super responsive, stop having sex with them.
Oh, if it was only that easy for me, Ashley. Like, keep going.
That's what your hands are for.
I know, right? Stop. But you know what I mean? Because when you're tripping and very much under the influence, I'm not sure if I would be able to differentiate whether something is being done to me with my consent, because sometimes I don't even know if what I'm thinking is something that I said, right? Like, what if I just thought that and I thought I said it, but it was just like staying in here in my inside thoughts. So like, how do I go about making sure that I can still enjoy weed with sex without going overboard?
So there's a couple of pieces to that. One is, I suggest that you only combine sex and altered states with someone that you know and trust. This is not a thing to be doing with complete strangers. This is not a thing where you get as high as a kite and then fuck the first person that you trip over. Like, that's, you can do that. You're an adult. You get to make decisions, but like, you are not setting yourself up for success if you make that decision. So I have a whole series of like red flags, green flags of like how to decide who to experiment with sex and altered states with. And one of them is like, do they have a demonstrable track record of being deeply invested in my body autonomy and consent?
That's fair. That's true.
Right. Yeah. Like, I want to make sure that somebody's not going to be like, oh, good, she's real stoned. Now we get to have anal like I've always wanted, but she hasn't really ever wanted to. Like, I don't want that person in my space when I'm in an altered state. I want to trust them to take better care of me than even I would have. Yeah.
My red flag is, do you have gingivitis? Ugh.
Yeah. If you can't take care of your teeth, you probably can't take care of me. Right?
If you can't take care of your gums, how are you going to get down with all of this? This filthy little disgusting whore. So just to rewind a little bit, because earlier we talked about how weed can help with slowing down and making ourselves feel a lot better. Do you have any recommendations as to the means of consumption and what would work best? So say, for example, I have pelvic pain. Would I consume cannabis orally or like topically?
So for pain specifically, especially if it's something like genital pain, pelvic pain, if you have a vulva, I would definitely recommend topicals and suppositories. That is going to get you the most efficacy as close to where you're feeling the discomfort as possible. It is certainly possible to get stoned enough that you don't feel pain anymore. People use it for pain management systemically all the time. But depending on how severe the pain is or where it is, I like to go topicals as my kind of first line of defense, and suppositories are right up there with topicals. And what I like about both of those is that they don't get you high.
Psychoactive.
There are some people who find suppositories somewhat intoxicating when used rectally. I have not found that to be the case, and I consider myself pretty sensitive. But again, like, your mileage may vary. So everything that you're planning to do with a partner, make sure you do on your own first so that you know how it's going to affect you. If it's something like pain, suppositories are great. If it's something more just like in your head, if you're stressed, if you can't quite, you know, get present and slow down in your body, I like smoking. I honestly generally don't recommend edibles for sex unless you're a more skilled practitioner, because they're just so variable. So smoking or vaping flower as opposed to like vape cartridges. I actually just got this really amazing device from a company called Storrs & Bickel. It's called the Venti, and they're the company that makes the Volcano vaporizer.
Ooh,
this is like a handheld Volcano, and it is spectacular. It's so nice. And you just put a little bit of flower in there. You taste everything. It's not as hard on your lungs as smoke. And inhalation tends to hit you pretty quickly, and you can modulate your dosage more precisely because you just take a single hit, like inhale the whole way, fill up your lungs, exhale. That's one hit. Start with that. Wait 10 minutes. See if you want to add more. Like, you can be really intentional about dosage, where edibles, you're just kind of rolling the dice.
And then don't do what I did and just like start freaking out. But what about someone with like asthma? Like, you know, because they would have like a smoke sensitivity, but they still want to use cannabis. How do they go about that?
So you could use edibles in that case. I also really like tinctures. Tinctures absorb a little bit faster than edibles because you put them under your tongue and hold it. So you get the sublingual absorption, which has more bioavailability and it comes through faster than just like swallowing it like an edible. That's a great option. Somebody with asthma, of course, is going to be able to use topicals and suppositories really easily. So that's also a great option. Or, you know, try vaping the flower because I have found like I have terrible lungs. I had COVID this year. I get bronchitis like it's my job. Vaped flower is really easy on my lungs.
Vaped flower. So like the actual bud and then you, mm-hmm. I've never seen that get vaped before. I thought it was
that's what the venti does. It's so nice. Oh, cannot God. Recommend highly enough.
Venti. Now I want one because
you should have one.
I should, honestly, because I've been like spending so much money on like weed paper and like,
oh my God. Yeah, it's also really effective or efficient that way. Vaping flower is so much more cost effective because you're only using a little bit and you get a lot more out of it. And then you can also reuse that vaped weed to make edibles or topicals.
I love it. I have been like the resident pothead in my family and circle. And I have some relatives who have chronic illness. Like I have an aunt who has cancer and my father who has chronic kidney disease. And ever since they saw me go on weed, they're like, hey, so can we try it out? And then I wasn't really sure how to redirect them because I was like, I'm not the best. So I started them off with something topical just so that they can't like trip or anything. And then they were like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. My wrists feel good. There's no more pain in my toes. And I was like, yes, people need to get on this. It's so hot. I love it.
I love that your family is able to find relief from it.
I know. And then I even got them going on cannabis-infused bath bombs.
Those are the fucking best. I love those so much.
Oh my God. The one that I had was infused with not just like weed, but also like a whole bunch of lavender in it. So I was like, knock me the fuck out. I'm in my bathtub with my glass of rosé and like jazz is playing and I'm just like, yeah. Oh, this feels so good.
You fancy bitch. I love it.
There's no other way to consume weed, right? Other than
like, I could not agree more.
Just like this milky substance of just like weed and lavender scents and steam and a glass of rosé. So because I consumed it that way, my fear is a dependence. I know that like, you know, weed can be addictive. And like you said earlier, we can use cannabis to like slow down and enhance some sensations. Where I'm coming from is more of like, I don't want it to be a crutch. I don't want it to be a crutch when it comes to sex and pleasure. So I don't want to have to depend on the high in order for me to have sex. So where do we kind of like control that and like be more cognizant of that?
I think it's a great question. Certainly if you're using things like topicals, you don't have to worry about the head high. So that's not gonna, you can use that as much or as little as you want without worrying about that being some kind of crutch. Cause that's, I put that in the same category as lube. Like that is something that's just there to make sex better. You're never going to shame yourself for needing lube every single time you have sex, right? Like, if anything, you should shame yourself for not using lube. just kidding.
Yeah.
Spit. I don't even know her.
Get with the like, times.
Seriously. But I think anything that is not used mindfully can be problematic. So really paying attention to, am I trying to escape from something? Am I not dealing with my ambient stress level during the daytime? Am I not feeling totally safe with my partner? So I feel like I need to unplug in this way in order to be able to have sex with them. those are, you know, yellow flags and potentially red flags. So having some kind of critical self-inquiry around it and around your choices with it, and, you know, when in doubt, give it a break for a week or two and notice how you feel without it. And if you're like fiending, then, you know, that's something that you want to look at. I don't ever want one single thing to be my go-to coping mechanism. Like, I think, you know, much like the entourage effect, it's better with a lot of different components. So sure, if weed helps take the edge off the fact that the world is literally on fire right now, you do you, boo-boo. But also make sure you're checking out therapy. Make sure you're moving your body in ways that feel good. Make sure you're like breathing fresh air and touching plants sometimes. Like, let's make this a more well-rounded thing.
Yeah. What exactly then is the mindful component of it? Is it just asking questions or about ourselves, or is it a more holistic and physical practice when it comes to being mindful of weed and sex?
I think it's a holistic and physical practice as well, and also arguably a spiritual practice. Like, I have had a lot of really enlightening conversations, especially in the last 6 months as I've gotten deeper into the psychedelic community, of like, you need to be in relationship with this plant, with this medicine, with this substance, that you're not just using it like a mindless consumer, that it's something that you are very thoughtfully engaging with, and that it is a partnership. So there's consent, you know, you actually go to the plant and say, do you want to partner with me today? And like, listen. Now, if the bud starts like talking to you, then we may need to seek other, but you know, like pay attention. And like, sometimes you'll be like, oh, you know what? Maybe not today. That kind of thoughtfulness, I think, is valuable. And also, less is more. You know, if you are just getting stoned off your gourd haphazardly, like not really thinking about it, like you just want to be as stoned as possible, that may be not the best choice for you. Like, I suggest people kind of use the least amount they need to get to where they want to go, rather than like getting as stoned as possible and then doing the thing that they were going for. Mm.
That's what I always tell people when it comes to any sort of new substance you're introducing into your life, whether it be weed or even like alcohol. You don't have to go into the deep end and take like a metric ton of weed or like the entire bottle of alcohol or one full line of cocaine. Like, you can always take a little bit more, but what's gonna happen is if you take too much, there's no going back from there.
It's like cooking with salt. You can always add more, you cannot subtract.
Oh my God. However, if you do end up putting too much salt, put like a skinned potato in like your soup or something.
The potato will absorb. Unfortunately, there is no potato equivalent in the drug world. Do not shove a potato up your ass.
No. Oh my God. The number of times I've had like readers or listeners write in and be like, how do I get this vegetable inside my butt? I'm like, you don't.
That's not what that's for.
No, you can't. Like, ew, don't.
Don't do that. You put in your ass should have a base.
However, my ass does have a mind of its own where it has eaten the base. So I was like, yeah, I know, Ashley, you're making that face. I wish I'm kidding, but yeah.
Well, so you need like the lanyard at the bottom, like, like to pull it back out. You need the oh shit rope.
The rip cord.
Yes, that's what I was
like Yzma in Emperor's New Groove. Pull the lever! It was so scary. I was like, because I was at the guy's house and I decided to surprise him by putting a plug in because it's got like a Swarovski crystal, so it's like fancy.
Ooh, and but then, those are little.
Yeah, but it still had a flared base, so I thought I was going to be okay. So then I went over to his house. I've kept that butt plug inside of me for like maybe 3 hours by now. And then I went to him. I was like, I got a present for you. Dropped my pants. He's like, where? I was like, what do you mean where? It's right there. I was like, no, I can't see anything. Just your hole. I was like,
Now it's a search and rescue mission.
Yep. So he like pushed me onto the bed and had my legs up, and then he started digging around with his fingers, like fish hooking it. And I was like, I can't believe, because there is no way I'm going to the hospital, to the ER in Canadian winter with the snow knee high. And he was just like, you got to pull it out. You got to pull it out. Oh God. Piss all over his sheets because I was like pushing out a baby. Oh my God. I mean, like, not to compare my experience to childbirth, but like it was basically childbirth. I really should have smoked something that time just to calm my nerves down. Yeah. Are there any specific like strains that you enjoy or recommend for first timers?
It's really very subjective. The strains that work great for me, that I love, may not work at all for you. And the strains that I have access to in California might be completely different genetics than the ones that you have access to where you are. So I tend to not recommend strains by name. But what I would say is like, look for lower THC percentages and higher CBD percentages. Look for ones that have a lot of terpene content. And you know, use your nose if you can. Not all dispensaries will let you actually smell the weed, but like if it smells good to you, that generally is positive for how it's going to work for you. If you smell it and you're like, oh, I don't like that at all, it smells like cat piss, maybe that one's not for you.
My nose is a little less discerning though, because to me, all weed kind of smells similar. So I'm like, I'm trying to be a weed connoisseur. Sometimes when I bring my friends, I'm like, ooh, I'm getting hints of citrus. And the pot that this was grown in was made of terracotta.
If you have like seven different varietals in front of you and you smell each of them in a line, you'll notice the differences. If you're just like, if there's only one thing of weed, it's just going to smell like weed to you. Mm.
But there's distinct scents.
There are distinct scents.
Like lavender, citrus, and...
You know, gassy, there's more floral, there's more sweet, there's more fruity, there's more like cheesy.
Cheesy?
Mm-hmm.
What? There's weed that smells like cheese?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine that being pleasant because cheese is already kind of stinky.
It's an interesting experience when you smell cheesy weed. It's not like cheddar cheese, but it, like you smell it and you're like, yeah, I could see where that could smell like cheese. Okay, yeah.
Would that scent transfer as flavor when you smoke it?
Sometimes. Although mostly when you're smoking, you're igniting and combusting all of the compounds at once, so you don't get as much of that flavor. But when you're vaping the flower, that's when you really taste everything.
When you vape it. Okay, you know what? I really got to get... What is it? Volcano? No.
Volcano is a great option. Stores and Bickel is the company. Everything they make, they're a German company. So like that German engineering, man. It's like the fucking Mercedes of the weed world. But the Venti is what I have. It's their handheld. I think it's like $450 US.
Oh, wow.
It's pricey, but like you pay for quality, one, and it's going to save you a lot of money over the long term because you're going to use so much less weed.
And so it like maximizes the amount.
It maximizes your output for sure.
Oh my God. That's what I need so that I can stop buying fucking lighters and paper and filters. This might as well be the staple. Yeah.
Highly recommend.
Why can't we just be legal everywhere? It doesn't seem like it's doing any much harm. Like, I don't think
Canada, you guys were ahead of the game making it federally legal. Like, I remember being there being like, wait, you can just walk down the street smoking weed here? Holy shit.
That is true. There's like one. No. I'd say there's like maybe five weed dispensaries for every Tim Hortons that you see here.
Yeah, wow. That's a solid ratio.
Yeah. So like the place where I work in the downtown core, I've only seen one Tim Hortons. However, as I keep walking, I see like 10 dispensaries. And I was like, wow. People need to like, I don't know, take a chill pill. Whoever's in legislation over there in the U.S. at least. Look, it's uniting everybody.
It's doing so well. When I taught at Oasis Aqua Lounge last time I was in Toronto in March,
my workshop was standing room only. There were people like out in the hallways, all in naked and in various forms of undress, like craning to hear about sex and weed. So it's on the move.
Do you have any preferred sexual activities while you're in this altered state? Like, do you like a hand job more, oral, missionary?
I really got into Tantra in like the last 8 years. And so I like doing a lot of making out with a lot of eye contact. I like really sensual touch and massage. And yeah, for sure, hand jobs and pussy massage are where it's at. But I also love, love weed for anal. Like the suppositories made anal possible for me, made it enjoyable for me. And it's just been a game changer. So really, it just depends on what you want to be doing.
Is the suppository like relieving some pain from your anus? Oh, it does.
Helps
it does.
Relax. So it doesn't numb. That's like the most important thing, right? We never numb our asses. Yeah.
No. Never numb.
So it helps to relax that smooth muscle and sensitize the internal parts of the ass. You know, if you have a prostate, makes your prostate more sensitive. Otherwise, just like all of those amazing nerve endings inside of your ass get more sensitive, and it just helps really relax the sphincter muscles.
I can attest to that. I smoked just a little bit one time, and this was like, oh God, so long ago already. But I smoked a little bit while I was bottoming, and the first time I've ever experienced a weed high and coming hands free because of 100% prostate stimulation, I was like, maybe I could start being a believer again. Because I think I saw the face of God when I came from like this sort of out of body experience. I was like, wow. What a blessing.
When Canadian Daddy and I met, he was very much an anal novice. Like one chick had stuck her finger in his ass when she was blowing him once. And then he met me. And now I can get almost my whole fist in his ass. Like his ass has completely become like the hungriest hole I've ever encountered. Except maybe yours. But I haven't actually encountered yours. I've only heard stories of the legend.
Yes, it is the man, the myth, the legend that is my hole. But yeah, trust me, people, my hole it needs to be studied. Because how the fuck does it swallow an entire flared base? I don't know. Well, Ashley, we are coming to the end of the episode. You're just an absolute pleasure. And do you have any sort of like last words of wisdom when it comes to weed and sex?
Negotiate before you medicate is the most important thing I can tell you about partnered sex and trying things on your own first and masturbating and then writing down what you've discovered, how much you consumed, how long it took to kick in, what you noticed. Keep a log because weed kills your short-term memory. So you will forget, I promise. And you'll be like, fuck, which one was it that I really liked? Just write it down.
Write it down. Have, I don't know, the notes app and record your voice.
Go to my website, canasexual.com. I have a free tracking template that you sign up for my email list. I will send you a PDF template and you can just print them out and keep them in a little folder.
I love that. One of my favorite things to do when I was like very, very high is to just like record the bullshit I say. And then just like when I'm sober, I was like, wow. What was I saying? What was that song? I could probably make this into a blog or a new single.
Hiya.
Create high, edit sober is what I love to do. Well, Ashley, you kind of beat me to it because I was going to ask you to please make like a butt and plug anything that you want the audience to find.
Canasexual.com or on Instagram at Canasexual. I also do concierge sex coaching and therapy with my best friend, Dr. Shannon, who is a licensed psychologist. We team up to offer you therapy and coaching in one, and we will come to wherever you are, whether you're in the US, Canada, or abroad. So reach out to us. She has a practice based in Beverly Hills, but we can go anywhere.
Love it. And to all the listeners that have made it this far into this chaotic ass conversation, my beautiful Chlamydiates, please do not forget to rate, review, and subscribe, because you're supporting queer content, sex education content. And if you don't support it, then you're automatically homophobic. I am sorry. I don't make the rules. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Sex Ed with Tim podcast. Happy 420, everybody.
Happy 420.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening to the Sex Ed with Tim podcast. Sex Ed with Tim is created and produced by me, Tim Lagman. Music is Aces High by Kevin MacLeod. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at GaySlutClown and at Sex Ed with Tim. You can also like and follow me on the Sex Ed with Tim Facebook page. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for all your support, you dirty little slut. Mwah.